Turn with us to him to Psalm 107. We're going to read 32 verses, the first 32 verses of Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word, and he healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing, that they go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh a storm to calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. May we once again go to our Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we bow in your presence tonight, we want to acknowledge your greatness. And most of all, Lord, we want to say thank you for the great redemption that we have in your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is an amazing work that Christ did on Calvary's tree, that he took our place, he bore our sins on the cross, so that we would not have to suffer death, eternal death, because you have brought us out of death in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for this redemption, and we just praise you and pray that you would be with those tonight who are hurting. Be with those in the hospital. Be with this Annalise, Lord, who has been afflicted with this disease that she has, Lord, with spinal meningitis. We just pray that you would help the doctors and help those around her. And most of all, Lord, we pray for healing from you. We pray for healing from on high, that you would heal this young girl and bring her back to health. Father, we pray also that you would be with those in our congregation who are not with us tonight because of their health problems. We just pray that you would minister unto their needs. Be with Sister Hailey. be with others, Lord, that have been spoken today, and those that are on our hearts and minds, Lord, and just pray that you would guide and direct and heal. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Job declared in Job chapter 14, verse 1, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." While reading Psalm 107 together, I'm sure that you noticed the two verses that were stated four different times. In these 32 verses that we read, verse 6 stated, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Then verse 8, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." Same verses repeated, verses 13 and 15. Once again, verses 19 and 21. And finally found again, verses 28 and 31. This psalm has a natural course. And the verses and course display Israel's frailties, weaknesses, rebellion, and dependence upon the Lord. And it also displays the Lord's goodness, mercy, love, redemption, and sovereignty. We are not going to be discussing all of these things here this evening, but we will be looking at, first of all, the blessed redemption of the Lord. Secondly, God's divine care and unfailing faithfulness to his people. And thirdly, the responsibility of the redeemed and blessed to proclaim the praises of the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The following insight about Psalm 107 is found in Spurgeon's Treasury of David. Quote, "The psalmist commences by dedicating his poem to the redeemed who have been gathered from captivity." Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3. "He then likens the history of that to travelers lost in the wilderness," verses 4 through 9. "To that of prisoners in iron bondage," verses 10 through 16. "To that of sick men," verses 17 through 22. "And to that of mariners tossed with tempest," verses 23 through 32, end quote. First of all, let's look at the blessed redemption of the Lord is seen throughout Israel's history, freeing them on numerous occasions from slavery and captivity. God's wonderful work on behalf of Israel ultimately benefited all humanity in Christ. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3 declares, "And I will bless them that bless thee, I will curse them that curseth thee, and in thee all the families of the earth will be blessed." Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born out of the stock, out of the lineage of Israel. Just as the Lord gathered the children of Israel out of captivity, out of all the lands, from the east, from the west, from the north and the south, he has also gathered his elect from all nations, from the four corners of the earth. Just as God has rescued Israel from their affliction, bondage, and chains, he has freed sinners from their bondage of sin and corruption. Let's turn now, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to read a lengthy passage here, so if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans and begin reading in verse 14. Chapter 7, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Romans 7, 14, we began reading, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I, that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through flesh, God sendeth his own Son in likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For then are they after the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the afflictions of this present time are nothing and not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We indeed have a glorious redemption bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. On that cruel cross, dying because of our wretchedness and our sins, being imputed to him, Jesus cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, meaning, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here on this cruel cross, dying because of our sins and for our redemption, Jesus, for the first time since eternity past, was separated from his Father and from his Father's fellowship. Yes, because of Jesus, was forsaken for a short period of time while bearing our sins, yet the Lord has on numerous occasions throughout history, now listen, throughout history, the Lord has declared this promise to his children. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ was forsaken because of our sin, yet he promises to us, his children, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When Jesus cried out on the cross, there was no help or comfort for him, no relief to be found until he died. But thank God he rose again and on the third day, and now he is never, ever to be separated from the fellowship of his Father again. Yet when we pray in times of distress, we are comforted by a loving and caring Lord and Savior, never to be left alone. We are never to be left alone or deserted. We can plainly see here the Lord's faithfulness and redemption. But God's divine care and unfailing faithfulness reaches into every aspect of his children's lives. He is the Almighty One. He is our advocate. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. He is our deliverer. He is the good shepherd. He is our great high priest. He is our Lord of all. He is our hope, our peace. He is our rock and mighty fortress. He is totally awesome. That is our God, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is totally awesome. There is none like him. We could go on and on, but let's look at his divine faithfulness in our text with the life of sailors who witnessed the power of his sovereignty both in their lives and in nature. Turn back with me to Psalm 107. 107 verses 23 through 32 again. Psalm 107. I did not hold mine. You probably held yours. You're better than me. All right, Psalm 107, verse 23 through 32. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raises a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. These sailors know who's in charge of both the vessel and the waters to which they sail. They know who's in charge of their lives. A more vivid illustration is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8. Let's read quickly Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. We read this in our Wednesday evening class not too long ago on one of the miracles of the Lord. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And when he was entered to a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came into him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? We see in this passage that the Lord was tired. He, as being humanity, he was also God, but he was tired at this point. He had done a lot of labors. And he needed some rest. He needed rest. And he went down into the bottom of the ship there and laid down and was asleep. And then a great tempest arose. And the ship was being rocked to and fro. Maybe 4, 5, 6, 7 foot waves. I'm not sure. I know one time I was out on a fishing vessel, and we couldn't go out into the deep waters of the ocean because the waves were too rough. But I know how these sailors felt, because they were rocking to and fro, and probably some of them were getting pretty sick. And not only seasickness, but some of them were probably scared to death because they thought their lives were going to be over. But they failed to see who's in their boat with them. He's the master of the sea. He's not going to go down with the waves. He's not going to allow them to go down with the waves. He's in control of the entire situation, even while he sleeps. Think about that. He's sleeping here as humanity, but he's still God. And he's still in control of the entire situation. The disciples are indeed fearful. But the master of storm is resting and asleep in the vessel. The disciples came to him and cried out, "Lord, save us." Mark records even stronger language. Because of their great fear, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep?" And Jesus gently said, "O ye of little faith." And he goes up, he gets out of his quarters there, and he walks with them. Yep, the sea's pretty wild out there. And yep, there's quite a bit of water in the boat. Lord understands the situation. And then he speaks, "Peace, be still." The waves calm down. The waves stop crashing against their vessel. And then they look out, and it's a sea of glass. And they marvel at the works of the Lord. And he says, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey his will?" I want you to see something. Because even though he's the master of the storm, and even though he's the master of creation, no greater miracle is done than in the heart of the sinner. When he takes that black heart and he shed his innocent blood on the cross of Calvary, and he takes all of our sins and places our sins upon him, and he becomes sin for us. And that is why the Father turned his back on Jesus Christ, because of our sin, because of our iniquity. And Jesus bore it all. Amen. That's the greatest love and redemption that humanity can ever see. The love that Jesus had for sinners on the cross of Calvary. There was a great calm. The Lord cares and is on our life's journey with us. Wherever we go, God is with us. He's on the journey with us. Oh, that our faith would increase, knowing that God is in control and is working all things for his honor, for his glory, and for our good. We must move now to our third main point, which is this. Because of the Lord's blessed redemption, divine unwavering love and faithfulness to his people, we have the responsibility to proclaim the praises of the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. We should be sharing with others our testimony and praising God wherever we are. No matter what our circumstances, we should be as those disciples. And I know this is a lot easier said than done. But those disciples, after they had been beaten, Paul and Silas, after they had been beaten unjustly and then thrown into the inner prison. But before they were thrown into the inner prison, they were taken and beaten. And then laid in stocks and bonds. And then what happened? At midnight, this was at the Philippian jail. And at midnight, they sang praises unto God. They were able to give praise and honor and glory to God in the most difficult circumstances of their lives. Are you able to do that? Am I able to do that in the most difficult circumstances of our lives? Or when a car breaks down or something like that, do we start, car trouble again? Or mumbling and complaining? I hope not. How about when health problems come our way? Those are difficult times, and I'm not saying anyone's health problems. Yes, health problems can be tremendously burdensome on us. But even in times like that, we can still get on our knees, give God the honor and glory that's due unto him. Are we greater than some of those in God's word that have suffered affliction? Are we greater than Job? Are we greater than our Savior who paid it all? Definitely not. So there's going to be troubles and trials in our lives. We are bound to go through them. What kind of testimony are we going to have through those trials and through those troubles? Are we going to be moaning and complaining like the Israelites often did? Or are we going to be saying, Lord, this is difficult, but I'm trusting you because you are faithful. You have promised me that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And I know I'm going through these difficulties for a reason. So please, Lord, help me to praise your name. Help me to say, Lord, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, trusting in a glorious God to help me through the pathway. We need to remain faithful because our chains are gone. We've been set free. To God be the glory. Great things he has done on our behalf. We must remain faithful and a good witness for our Lord at all times. Good times and bad times. None are exempt from troubles and trials. We need to pray, praise, and find peace in the arms of Jesus. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let's simply close this evening with reading this psalm together. And then we will stand together for a word of prayer. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34, a great psalm of praise. It is a hymn, but Psalm 34. Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for this is no want to them that fear him, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.